Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How you doing? As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody, help me grow this thing. It is July. The summer seems to be flying by, everybody. And I usually start with my milestone. And for those who don't know, I have a five-year-old son. His name is Miles. And he's at my parents' house for the summer. And the news is, he finally got my iPad stolen. So, he's had that thing basically his entire life. And went back to the old, good old Rochester, to the barbershop, and somebody stole it. So, that's, he's just not used to living in a place where people just steal shit as soon as you put it down. I mean, I kind of grew up in that environment knowing you need to protect everything you have at all times because motherfuckers love to steal shit. So, yeah. And it just really bothers me knowing that somebody has that iPad and it has a bunch of, like, baby videos and pictures that I don't have on the cloud on there. And it just sucks that some asshole is just going to erase it. But they won't even be able to connect it to the internet because I have the location thing set and it's just going to let me know. So you just got some idiot that's just going to be able to just, I don't even know, dude, they won't be able to do much with it anyway. They're not going to be able to connect it to the internet without me knowing. So yeah, it's pretty dumb. But hey, people like to steal shit and not even think it all the way out. Probably try to sell it to somebody, and they'll be dumb, and they'll connect it, and then it'll pop up on my phone. So, yeah, he had to learn that hard lesson. But I just think it's funny. He was with my dad, and my dad is always the one yelling at everybody about leaving their phone places, their keys. Don't do that. Watch this. Watch that thing over there. You got to be careful. People are stealing. Lock the door. In high school, where's your key? Where's your wallet? You leaving the house? Where's your bike? You're doing this, and then he goes out with my son and lets him get the iPad stolen. It's kind of, it's not funny, but it's kind of like I kind of want to do him how he did us back in the day and just yell at him about it, but I can't. I'll get in trouble. But I just think it's funny, Mr. Safety, Mr. Vigilant, got the iPad stolen. Congratulations, Bobby. Your years of advice and vigilance has paid off. And of course, they ran out and bought him another one. That would never happen to me if I was a kid. If I lost something, it was gone. If I lost my glasses, I just wouldn't see ever again. That's how cheap they were. Right, you lost your glasses? Well, you better sit at the front of the classroom. Get a CNI dog because we're not buying another pair. But someone stole his iPad. He wasn't paying attention. He's only five. He has to have another one. They've changed so much. But yeah, to the asshole who stole my son's iPad, go fuck yourself. You piece of shit. Stealing from a five-year-old. I hate it. Hope you die. Ugh. Oh, man. So, what else has been going on? Apparently, there's a comic. Her name is Hannah Gadsby, and apparently her specialist is so good, it's negated everything that Louis C.K. has ever done his entire career, and it's... And I put something on Facebook about this. I don't like to trash other people's comedy or specials or whatever or what have you. You just never know when you're gonna cross paths with people, and you just never know where you're gonna end up. So I keep my opinions to myself. But when I hear stuff like that, and I read a couple of articles, and she had a quote saying, "Is you know, if you're only into comedy to make people laugh, then you need to quit." And basically, how she's been threatened with rape at shows, and no guy has ever had to put up with that. And we don't know what resiliency is, and we basically just need to toughen up. And that alone was like, I need to check this out. And I gotta be honest, I enjoyed it for what it was. Didn't care for the quote unquote jokes at all. I just didn't think they were good jokes. And I know you can't say that. Oh well, let me back up and say Nanette is a white lesbian female comic from Tasmania. And she's probably a tad older than I am, maybe in her 40s. So I don't know what it was like growing up in Tasmania. She kind of looks like a guy. So I don't know what it was like growing up in Tasmania as a I don't even know if it's the correct term, but a butch female lesbian. I don't know how horrible it was. I don't know what their culture is like. But again, you're talking about a smaller island with a bunch of white people, so I'm probably not too open-minded about anything, to be honest. So it's, I would consider it more of like a one-woman show or storytelling more than I would comedy. But you know, I've talked to people about it on Facebook. We've gotten to long discussions about it, and then they want to get into the whole classic definition of what comedy is, and theater, and Shakespeare, and ancient Greeks, and comedy, you know. But it's just like, well, that might be the classic definition of what comedy is, quote unquote, but it's not. I didn't really find it stand-up comedy. You know, it just wasn't, in my mind, really wasn't stand-up. And someone made the point like, well, Richard Pryor kind of did some of the same things too, and Dave Chappelle's Comedy Store special was kind of the same. And someone specifically brought up Dave Chappelle telling that whole story about Iceberg Slim, and it made me stop and think. And I just turned it on, and that's the beauty of Netflix. You know, someone mentioned something. All I did was, as soon as I finished watching Nanette, I flipped it on, and it just so happened I was watching that Chappelle special not too long ago, and it picked up right at the Iceberg Slim story. And I ended up just starting the special all over again. And Dave Chappelle attacks some pretty heavy subjects, but he gets laughs throughout the entire thing. Now, I will say the first 25 minutes or so, Nanette's getting laughs. But again, I just don't find the jokes funny. And maybe it's just an Australian thing. Or the fact that I've seen a lot of comedy. I just didn't think it was funny. She had like one or two jokes where I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And that's pretty common for me with any comedy special, not to really laugh. But then the second half or the rest of it, probably 40 minutes, is literally her just telling a story about being a lesbian woman and all the things she went through and her mom, and that she was abused and that she got molested, she was raped, she was beaten up, and telling straight white men they need to do this and your time is up and equal pay and you guys need to recognize what you're doing to people. And she was sick of doing comedy and doing all this self-deprecating humor because it wasn't about humiliating herself. She found it that it was just straight humiliation, and she felt bad about herself, and she's just not going to do it anymore, and it's just, she can't handle it, and she's just sick of all the things that come with stand-up comedy and putting herself down and making her feel like shit and in depression and, you know, hiding the fact that she's gay. And it's just like, she just told this really moving story about her life and what she went through and how tough it was and how she was deeply hurt and why all this stuff happened to her, and she's sick of being, you know, told not to tell her story. And it was like, again, it was very moving stuff, but it just, I don't know. I can't call it comedy, and people are like, that's bullshit. It's comedy. We need more space for this. And my thing is just like, look, at its highest form, yeah, it can be done, but there are already a lot of people in comedy who just aren't funny. They just can't tell a regular joke. And it makes shows awkward. They bring shows to a screeching halt. When people are trying to be funny, they can't do it. Anthony Jeselnik had this effect on comedy some years ago. If you don't know who he is, he's a really, really dark comic. Joke-wise, he's not dark physically, but really dark. I mean, these jokes all have just crazy twists. It's like she had AIDS, this is a dead baby, the baby drowned, he's dead, she's dead, cancer. I mean, that's basically all the turns of all of his jokes. It's something tragic and horrific and something you shouldn't say. And he's really good at what he does. But you had a lot of young comics and people who want to do comedy see that and go, oh, that's comedy. That's what I want to do. And they came to open mics, and it became a thing where it was just like rape this, baby dead, baby this, molestation, cancer, my mom is dead. She cut my dick off, and it just ruined comedy. And honestly, from what I noticed, it's kind of what started the whole anti-rape joke thing, because people were trying to copy Jeselnik. They were just trying to say the most horrific thing on stage and get laughs with it. And it hurt stand-up comedy for a couple of years. I mean, because it was just new people who couldn't tell a regular joke trying to tell level 50 jokes, well-written jokes that have had years of practice and honing a personality and a voice and all of that, and ability to write those jokes. And I don't know how profound of an impact she will have on at least the open mic scene for the next year or so, but I honestly don't want to go through that again. But on the other end of the spectrum, where you just got people coming up telling their stories of abuse or sexual assault or getting beat up for whatever, because it's like, that's not what stand-up comedy is for. That's not what an open mic comedy show is for. They have storytelling shows where you don't need the pressure of having a punchline. I mean, again, it was tough in those days I'm trying to make it sound like I'm this old fucking weathered veteran, but it just wasn't fun. It's just everybody had a fucking rape joke or cancer joke, and it got old. And I just don't want to have to sit through comic after comic or wannabe comic after wannabe comic of just telling just horrific, tragic stories and considering that comedy. Because there's already people who've been in comedy for a few years now, and to be honest, it's not working out for them. They can barely get a laugh. They see this and go, oh, you know what? Fuck all that punchline shit. I'm just going to tell a story about this time this guy touched me on the bus, and I'm going to yell, I'm going to get emotional, and that's going to be my comedy. And it's just like, it's not comedy. You're just telling a horrific story. And I said on Facebook, there's a space for what she does. It was moving. It was interesting. It kept me locked in. I felt bad for saying entertaining, but I was entertained by it. You know, I understood what her message was. But there's part of me that just can't call it stand-up comedy. And I get it. There's a wide range of comedy. And when it's all said and done, people can call whatever they want. They can call their art whatever they want. I can't stop them from calling it comedy. I really can't. So to really be honest with myself and looking back at the whole conversation I had with people, I feel like I kind of wasted my time because, yeah, you can call it whatever you want. I might not agree with it, but you can call it whatever you want. I just don't want this to really become a thing. And, of course, all these SJW comics are like, why are you afraid this is going to become a thing? It's not going to become a thing. But yet, whenever someone tells any type of joke about a gay person or a trans joke or this joke, they always feel like that joke is going to turn into an actual assault or a murder or a rape or something like that. They always feel like your joke is going to actually do something to an individual or to a group of individuals. And I'm not saying, you know, jokes about killing trans people are funny or beating up gay people are funny. You know, because if it's just a joke, if it's just in bad taste. Now, but I'm not saying there can't be any funny jokes about trans or gay people, because I think there's funny things about everybody. But there's also a line where you go, all right, man, you're just talking about shooting a person because of, it's like, that's not funny. Or you're just talking about kicking somebody down the stairs for being gay. It's just like, I don't really see the humor in that. But to some people, it is funny. So on that same token, is that comedy? Because people think then that's funny? Doing harm to somebody is that comedy because people laugh at it or they find it to be comedy? You know, it, like, there's a spectrum. I personally don't think it is, but I just think it's a fair question to ask. Well, is that comedy then? Is it all comedy? Is hate speech comedy? If you want to consider this comedy, and I'm not saying that Nanette Special is hate speech, it's not, but I'm just asking. If this is considered stand-up comedy, I guess anything you say could be considered comedy. But I just think there's other spaces for it. And I understand a stand-up venue is typically the best place, you know, or it's going to look like stand-up comedy. But yeah, I just if you get a chance, check it out. Her name is Hannah Gatsby. It's called Nanette. And I don't know if you have any friends or anything like that. If you want to take some time out and discuss it with your friends and see what you think. But it's doing really well. It's shot nice, and yeah, she has a message. But I just find I have a hard time classifying it as stand-up comedy. But, and for years people have been storytellers, but I just feel like there's always, the jokes come first. You know, Richard Pryor told tragic stories about, you know, being a crackhead, but he personified the cars that he shot and, you know, all the stuff that he did. He was doing voices and that's how he chooses to deal with his pain and what he went through. That's completely fine. And, you know, Richard Pryor was never beat up and raped and abused by anybody. So, I mean, the way he does things is different than how she does things. And I totally understand that. So, but it's interesting that I know how upset people get when you don't think something is funny. And this is annoying too. I've noticed this with a couple of the SJW comics that come out with specials. They always want to seem to mention, like, I'll say a regular comic. That's the only word I can use. Whenever a regular comic is, you know, criticized for their jokes or there's backlash for jokes, these SJW comics want to say, it's not backlash, it's just feedback, bro. Maybe you're just not funny. Maybe you just need to re-examine your jokes. This is not funny. People aren't laughing. So why is it when someone criticizes a regular comics joke or a club comics joke and people get upset about it, it's just feedback? But if the same thing happens to you while you're up there you know, basically giving a dissertation on feminism and or the patriarchy, and you think it's jokes, and people are like, hey, this sucks. It's because they hate gay people, or you hate women, or you hate trans people, or whatever. It's just like, no, why don't you listen to yourself? Maybe it's just feedback, and your joke fucking sucks. Maybe you're just not funny. Maybe you're only funny to a very specific group of people, and when you talk to the other 95% of people, they go, this shit's not funny to me. This is not funny to us. You ever thought of that? Maybe you just have a really, really niche market, a niche audience, and most people think your shit is garbage. How about that? I guess I'll run a little long. Actually, you know what? I'll cut it here. I'm at 21 minutes. So there's a show. That's a show. If you're listening and you're in the D.C. area, next weekend, the 13th and 14th, I will be at the D.C. Draft House with Mark Normand. That'll be a fun weekend. So come on out and see us. I think it's 2 shows on Friday, 2 on Saturday. So yeah, just check out the DCDraftHouse.com for tickets and all that kind of stuff. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, A-L-A-N. There's a show. That's a show. I'm out. Peace.